Blog Talk Radio.
Mind Shift Radio.
Gentlemen, welcome to a new edition, a brand new year of Mind Shift Talk Radio. I'm your host, Stacey Emery, joined by my phenomenal and hilarious co-host that can't be quiet during the hook, Juanita Sister Big Bone Horn. Hey, sis, happy new year.
That's my jam. That's the joint right there.
All of you. And see, guys, like, I have all the lines unmuted for our guest panel that are here tonight. But before we get started with the conversation, we have to go back to the basics. So, again, thank you for tuning in tonight. We are excited to be here. I'm always excited about Mondays, my favorite day of the week. It is Mind Shift Monday. So for those of you that are listening online via Blog Talk Radio or MindShiftTalkRadio.com, thank you. Feel free to go ahead and share the link with your friends and family members, all your friends on Facebook and Twitter and everywhere out there in social media world. And for those of you that have any questions, any comments, we would love to hear comments from you guys and love for you guys to take part in tonight's conversation. You can feel free to give us a call at area code 347-989-0206. This is going to be a fired up roundtable conversation, to say the least. But like I said, we have to go back to the basics. So for those of you that are new listening to Mind Shift Talk Radio, I want to tell you a little bit about the show. Mind Shift is a show for you. It's for people just like you and I, regular people looking to have extraordinary results in our lives, whether you're looking to grow financially, spiritually, personally, professionally. This is a show that will provide the tools and the nuggets and the tips that you need to be able to reach new levels and new heights of success in every area of your life. So we discuss everything across the board. Truly, we have mind-shifting conversations. So welcome to the show. We encourage you to make sure that you're here with us every Monday night at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific. For those of you that are not our friends yet on Facebook, we encourage you to do that. You can join us at facebook.com/mindshifttalkradio. Also, you can always go back to our website 24 hours a day. You can catch up with Juanita and I at mindshifttalkradio.com, read more about the show. You can read about upcoming shows, find out about previous shows we've had, and you can connect with us by hitting the Contact Us link. And finally, outside of Twitter, you can find us at Mindshift Radio on Twitter, but you can also connect with us at blogtalkradio.com. If you're listening via the Internet right now, just go ahead and hit the follow link in your browser. That'll keep you connected so you can be updated every week about what's going on with Mindshift Talk Radio. So there, I've covered all the basics. Sis, now you can go back to singing your hook and doing everything else. I'm happy to be here. I'm happy about the new year, and I'm excited to be here with you. We haven't been here for a few weeks, so I'm excited about this week. And see, I give you an opportunity to talk now, and now you're not talking. But you were doing all that singing during the hook.
I'm not going to say nothing.
Really? You're going to go a whole hour and not say anything?
No, I'm going to just keep it low-key since you trying to...
keep it real?
No, you're just trying to squash my optimism and stuff, so... I mean,
okay.
Okay.
I thought we were going to turn over a new leaf in the new year. I thought we were turning over a new leaf in the new year.
Whatever. Happy New Year! Woo!
How do you say it in Spanish? So leaf what? Nuevo año? Is that what it is?
Yes,
I think so.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Look at me. I'm good with my Spanglish. All right.
Not really.
Let's see. Oh, I am. Weren't you just being, what, optimistic? What about positive?
I am.
And all that?
I'm positive that you're not good with your Spanglish.
You were such a hater, I promise. Okay, look, chat room is open. So for those of you that want to join in the chat room, Sister Big Bone should be getting in the chat room shortly. She'll be moderating the conversation from there, right, sis? Yep. So go ahead and join us in the chat room if you have any comments or questions. I'm telling you, the lines are like lit up tonight. What's up?
I don't even have my computer. How about that? I'm kidding. I'm logging in now.
We're supposed to tell the truth in 2013. Be honest.
That is the truth.
Right.
I'm really excited about tonight's show. I'm excited about our members of our roundtable.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't wait to get in and just get it started.
I know. We're getting some great feedback already, just on Facebook posts and comments coming in, even on the Mindset page. Well, the inbox, people are already talking about, it's definitely going to be there. Email blast, getting comments back. So even for those that may not listen to the live show tonight, I'm sure that our archives are going to blow up. So we're going back and listen to the replay of this show. But I'm excited. Yeah. So with all that being said, we're going to go ahead and get started, because you already know when we do roundtable discussions, the time flies by. And we have four people joining us, and we can already chat it up enough by ourselves within an hour. So we've got four people joining us tonight, two males and two females. For those of you that may not have read the description of tonight's show, the title is Heartbreak Hotel. And it's the male versus female perspective, okay? So this is interesting. So tonight, our roundtable guests, the ladies and the gentlemen, are going to share their perspective. Now, we already talked about there's so much power in transparency, so we've already encouraged our guests to be completely open and transparent with sharing their thoughts and their comments and their perspectives on the topic for tonight. So please, I normally say this at the beginning of the show. Again, if you're new to Mindshift, because we're so transparent on the show, if you don't necessarily agree with anything that's being said, just agree to disagree. We just ask that you have an open mind, an open heart, open perspective. Again, the title is Mindshift Talk Radio. So we just guarantee if you hang in there with us for the hour, just bear with us, you'll have a positive and healthy mind shift by the end of the hour. So we're going to go ahead and bring our guest panel out. First person we're going to introduce to you
bring
is
them out,
Roxy.
Bring them out.
Hello.
Hey, Roxy.
Hi there.
Welcome to Mind Shift.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Let's see, we're going to go to one of the gentlemen, Andrew, on the line. Andrew, welcome to Mind Shift.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Hello, everybody. How you doing?
Hey. Let's see, next lady on the block, Brenda. Welcome to Mind Shift Talk Radio, Brenda.
Brenda.
Hello. Oh, hello. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, hi. This is Brenda. I'm a global girl with Southern and Pacific Northwest roots, and I've had two husbands.
That's a way to get started.
I can talk.
Now, wait, Brenda, were they all your husbands or somebody else's? Nick?
Why would I want somebody else? Oh. No, I have been married twice. Yes.
One more person joining the panel. So, last but definitely not least, Princeton is in the house. Welcome to Mindset Talk Radio, Princeton.
What's up? How y'all doing? I'm Princeton from the Southeast, and I was married one time too many. How about that?
Oh, wow.
Wow. How about
I said this was going to be interesting.
Well, at least you learned the first time.
Right.
Oh, wait, Brenda, now you know third time's the charm. Well, you don't know yet.
That's what they say.
Well, you know, the picture that you guys have of this heart on here with all these little stitches and Band-Aids, I mean, how many times do you want to be cutting your hair? Third time's a charm. Okay.
Oh, God. All right, so, like we said, let's see. Oh, got a message from Danielle on Facebook. And I'm not sure if you're listening.
I know how to find the chat room.
Yeah, she wants to know how to join the chat room. So the chat room is open, Danielle. If you go to the bottom of your page, it should be at the bottom of your page, you'll be able to see the chat on the bottom. You may have to refresh your page, but it is open. All right, guys, so everyone's introduced themselves. We're going to go ahead and get started with our conversation. I know Sis is going to lead us off with this conversation. And basically, you know, when she asks questions or starts the topic, feel free to discuss as much as you like. Because we're short on time, she may cut you guys off at certain topics. at certain times, and also for us to be able to do a station ID. So just deal with that. But we're going to keep it cordial for the most part. And like I said before, we're going to agree to disagree. So we're just going to share our thoughts. No one's going to get upset. We're all going to be cool because it's all love. So, sis, I'm going to pass it over to you. Go ahead and do what you do.
My first question is, what do you remember about your first heartbreak?
Now, are we talking marriage or just in any relationship ever in general?
Ever in life, your first heartbreak. Now, if your first heartbreak wasn't until you got married, God bless you, and you're a lucky one. But what do you remember about your first heartbreak? Who wants to start? Let's try
I'll
a guy.
Start.
You start then. Go ahead.
You know, I remember my first heartbreak was my first little boyfriend in the eighth grade, and, you know, we were so serious, and we talk on the phone every day, and he had an older cousin who came along and said, you know, you're too young to be this serious. You need to dump her. And he did. And I cried the whole summer. And so it was, you know, I'll never forget him. He's my Facebook friend now, but I don't really remember that, but he just ripped my heart out and just stomped all over it.
Okay. One of the gentlemen.
This is Princeton, of course, and my first one was my marriage, and a lot of that had to do with I really didn't have a quote unquote serious girlfriend when I was in college. And it wasn't for lack of, you know, the opportunity just really didn't present itself to the point where anybody was interested enough. But I wound up marrying a young lady I had a crush on when I was in the sixth grade. And so we had been friends for a very, very, very long time. And I think the whole reason that heartbreak came is because, you know, sometimes they say that the best friends make the best wives or best husbands. Well, that's not always the case, because I think expectations and things change with that. But then when you feel like, you know, you put so much trust in somebody that, you know, they always look out for your well-being first, and you know, man will let you down every time. So really it's more about the letdown than my heart just being broken. It's more of a disappointment type thing for me.
Mm. Okay. So that leaves Brenda.
Oh gosh, I've had so many, but the first one just caught my boyfriend cheating, and then it was with a white girl, so that just really did make me feel so great.
You had felt better had you been black.
Yeah, I think I would have felt a little better if it had just been.
You wouldn't have felt better.
Do you remember the girl's name?
I wouldn't have felt better. But I mean, it was like insult to injury, really, you know, the way I felt.
Do you remember the girl's name? Don't say it if you do, but do you remember her name?
Well, you know, I can say this. My dad was in the military, and it was in Germany. So it was a German girl. It was a Fräulein. So I didn't like that.
Yeah. And the reason I said is because my ex-husband is still in Germany with his mistress, and they have
I think you struck a nerve there, Brenda.
Yeah, I know.
You just added insult to injury.
Right.
All right, let's hear what Andrew has to say. Let's hear about Andrew's first heartbreak.
All right. You know what? You know, this is Andrew, Mr. Hello, like you heard me earlier, but I think about it. I mean, I really sit here and think about it.
You haven't had one?
I've never had my heart broken before.
Man, we about to let Andrew go.
That means Andrew is the heartbreaker.
He's a heartbreaker.
Hold on.
Yep, that's it. That he has no heart.
Is he the one that got married one time too many? Is that the one that got married one time too many?
No, that's me. That was Princeton.
But actually, you know what? I'm just messing with y'all because I wanted to see who was in the comment first and what they were going to say.
Right.
Hater.
Okay. All right. Let's see. When I first got my heart broken, For me, I'd be back in high school. I'd say high school. Let's see.
Do you remember who she was?
I was probably about. I remember who she was. Oh yeah, I definitely not forget who she was. But for reasons not to name, we'll just call her Person A. So now, person A.
Person A.
You know, in the beginning, you know, everything was nice. You know how it goes. Everything, just you know, you carry her her books. You know, every day you get up, how you doing? Back then, we didn't have cell phones. You know, we had beepers. So you know, I'm looking for the home phone. You know, to send a little text message. You know, what was it? 143, I love you. You know, little sweet stuff like that. But long story short, she broke my heart.
Hmm.
Why did she break my heart? What was that?
Mm-hmm. She let somebody else carry her book?
long as they're carrying the books and not a baby.
Right.
Uh-oh.
Amen to that.
Right.
Yeah, she ended up cheating, but I mean, the thing for me, you know, it was my first time, and when it happened, it was just, you know, it was just like, you know, just so real, that feeling. You know, that feeling where you're just like, nothing else matters, and it's like, you just feel like cold inside. You're no longer warm, you know, you just feel cold.
Wow.
He had deep feelings like that. Look at that.
And then he didn't have any feelings like that anymore for anybody.
Hold on.
That seems to be a pattern.
Yeah. Hold on. I'm going to set the tone. Hold on. I'm going to set the tone right here. Princeton, I'm going to go ahead and go in like this. With that said, women are beautiful creatures. Princeton, you said you've been married once, right?
Yeah.
So at the same time, I'm sure you can agree, women are complicated, though. Complicated.
So speaking of women,
Hold on, because you guys are talking about the heartaches and the heartbreaks, and Andrew talked about the girlfriend breaking up with him in the eighth grade or cheating on him in the eighth grade and how hurtful that was. But I'm looking in the chat room right now. I mean, I don't know if you guys are looking at the chat room, but Felicia's posting in there, and I'm just like, wow. So she talked about her first heartbreak being December of 2008, and she was married for 13 years with two kids. And then he decided to send her a text message, a text,
bastard,
to say that he no longer wanted to be married, then had his now wife, his present wife, call and text her to say that she enjoys riding him and whatnot.
Ooh,
she got a little
explicit.
Right.
Who at the time was the mistress? Oh, bastard.
Was the mistress. Exactly.
You know what?
So
as my mother says, she know where, well, my mother says she knows where she's been. She doesn't know where she's going. The little wife that's writing that now, she just needs to, as they say, keep on living.
Right.
That is some serious heartbreak for real. Oh, thanks for sharing, Felicia.
Yeah, and sorry you had to go through that, Felicia.
Definitely.
She said 13 years, right?
Yeah, but she's a lot better now. Just tell her.
And she is. And the sad part about it is her husband was my best friend.
Wow.
Yep.
Is he still your best friend?
No, his mistress didn't approve of him and I being best friends. So in the divorce, I got her and my goddaughters, and he got the other chick. So
we need to have him on the show.
No,
we
don't.
I have 21 questions for him. Like, really?
Yeah, I got 99 problems, and he ain't one of them. So you guys are tuning in to Mind Shift Talk Radio with host Stacey Emery, and I am Sister Big Bones. And tonight we are talking about Heartbreak Hotel, the male versus female perspective. So with that, do you think that women and men handle heartbreak differently? Because I'm not really hearing that in what you guys shared.
You know.
Yes.
We definitely do. Because I think men and women handle everything differently. We can get along and can relate, but at the same time, men and women are very different. We're different in the way we think about things. We're different in the way we handle situations. You know, it's often said that women are emotional, but I find that men tend to be very emotional. You know, they may not cry per se as openly as society says women do, but they tend to feel strong emotions, whether it be extreme sadness or extreme anger, and the way they express that may be different than the way women express that, but it's just it's very different.
Well, you know, that's why they have heart attacks and strokes, and they keep all that stuff in. So,
well, I don't know about that. I think it has more to do with you know, first of all, it takes a lot for a man to decide that he wants to be with a woman, whether or not it's in, I mean, when I say to be with a woman, I'm talking exclusively. So,
yeah.
And I'm not talking about just marriage.
Do they ever make
that decision? Yes, they do make that decision. All the time.
Mm-hmm.
So my thing is, you know,
wrong
before, women. if you're not that one, you know, you're not going to get that strong emotion. That's just not what it is. Mm-hmm. But once a man makes that decision, you know, you'll know. You know, as a woman, you know that a man is into you and he wants to be with you and it's all in. Now, traditionally, there's just like every lifespan, you know, you got your infancy, you have, you know, the time when you're growing together, you learn each other, then things start to get comfortable, you know, and then things change along the way. But that does not negate the fact that at some point, if that man said, listen, you're the woman that I want to be with, it takes a lot because we really, you know, I hate to say it, especially you're talking successful, you know, black men in cities in the Southeast and whatever, we really have a lot of women at our disposal. So when it's time for us to say, real talk. We're keeping it real, right?
Oh, you do
right.
Think it's that, huh?
But, I mean, you know, it's not about quantity. You know, once you find that one, you know, once you find the one, you're all in. So yeah, we do hurry. We do feel, you know, especially when things don't go the way that we planned. Nobody jumps into a relationship thinking, oh, you know what, shit is going to end in a year. Nobody does that because I know it's you know, you shouldn't. I mean, you really shouldn't go in saying, okay, this is. I'm giving this 2 years, 3 years. When you go in, you're really going in thinking, damn, I could feel like this forever. You know, it's like a high, but it's like every high. At some point, you come down.
So based on what you're saying, and I don't know if, you know, the experiences I've had just means that those guys just weren't that into me. But when you say when you're all in, or a woman should know it, but I often find that, you know, a discrepancy between what's said and what's done. And sometimes, you know, it's not until the end when you say, okay, I've had enough, and they say, well, this is how I really feel. And sometimes you don't hear about those feelings until it's too late. It's almost as if they assume you know, but certain things aren't being said and aren't being done to show how they really feel about you. So how is it that women are supposed to just know? I mean, is this being said? Is this being shown? Because I've just found huge discrepancies between what
right.
they're saying they feel for you in the end when you've had enough and what you want to feel during the relationship.
A lot of that has to do with nearsightedness, right? So
mm-hmm.
You got to think about it like this. When do you realize the clarity that comes when you're about to leave? I mean, there's automatically. I mean, I mean, you can see. I mean, I can see clearly now
yeah.
the rain is gone.
The
I want you here.
Gone.
I shouldn't have did this. I'm going to be better. I want to be the man for you. You know, you all I need. You're all I want. But a lot of that just has to do with us being very nearsighted, not looking past, you know, not looking past the forest for the trees. You know, most men, I feel, yes, that when they're in a relationship, they're in it, but as far as the relationship piece of it to grow, we don't look in the future. We just deal with right now. Right now, I want to make you happy right now. What is it going to take? I'm going to do it right now. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to do it right now. Because
and there's nothing
when you
really
that,
wrong with that, though. I mean,
there's nothing
not a
wrong
bad
with that.
Thing, but.
It's not a bad thing, but it also makes us not totally aware of some of the things that we're doing that's adding up. Because, you know, you got to keep tally.
You're right about that.
You know what I'm saying?
Wait,
you
and
keep tally,
Andrew?
And our brain. This is Princeton.
Is that
I'm sorry.
That's okay, that's Princeton.
Right.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, but you talked about being able to see clearly, you know, when it's time to leave. And looking in the chat room, looks like two women were broken up with by their men via text message. So do men break up differently than women?
Everybody's different. The one thing about shows like this is they're often one-sided. And the reason that they're one-sided is because we don't get couples on. until you can get a couple on to hear the other side of the coin, maybe he didn't want to say it in front of her because she was abusive, or he felt like
he was a coward.
Was his, right, well, possibly, but there are other mitigating factors that we have no idea. We don't know why he decided to text. Maybe he is a coward.
No excuses. So, text messages, that's
you,
very impersonal.
Have you broken up with a woman before?
I haven't. Because, like I said, my first real girlfriend was the woman that I married.
That's a good point. You find a lot of men who say they've always been dumped, and you hear this victim thing, and nobody's ever broken up with them. But then you find a lot of men who will stay with women, and they'll kind of do whatever on the outside, and they won't break up. And then sometimes when women have had enough, they're the ones to end the relationship, when the men probably should have ended it a long time ago when he first decided he wanted to be there.
Most men don't end relationships because at the end of the day, they don't want to hurt your feelings. They would rather just
hook
up and say,
you know
what?
Well, but they're hurting more by carrying on with something they don't want to be in. You know, they're not
Right, but we're not built that way.
To be honest and truthful?
No, not necessarily to be honest and truthful, but when the truth and when being honesty gets to the point where it's going to hurt you, that's not something that any man wants to do. Now, is it right?
The lie
hurts
even worse, you know? The lie hurts even worse. And, you know, I'm recently divorced, and getting back into the dating world, I'm coming in contact with so many men who have these long-standing relationships with women, 10 and 15 and 20 years, and they're off doing their own thing on the side. They're kind of like living this life off on the side, but then they have this, you know, old faithful at home that they don't want to hurt her. And I'm thinking, you're already hurting her because she knows what you're doing. You know, they have this history, but you're not really sparing them pain by staying with them. You don't want to be there because you don't want to hurt them. You're hurting them.
I know it doesn't make sense, right? I know it doesn't make sense. But feelings don't make sense. And, you know, they're not based on logic. You know, the way that you feel has nothing to do with logic. You know what I'm saying? So think about it. Even somebody can do the worst thing. And as far as their whole moral compass is concerned, if it's something that they want to do, they're going to justify why they did it.
Mm-hmm. You're absolutely right. But you know what, though? The thing is, if we allow ourselves to feel what we feel, whether it be good or bad, you know, negative or positive, then sometimes the outcome would be so much better. You know, you're feeling something, you know, that you shouldn't be feeling, and you know you don't need to be in a relationship. In the relationship, allow yourself to feel that and then move on instead of staying in something and dragging that on for years and years and years.
Let's move on to my next topic. Let me pause it here because we have a couple of topics we want to hit. But that goes, I think that was Brenda that was just speaking. That goes to the next topic about the fear that we have in relationships.
That was Roxy.
What about the fear? Now, do you guys think, and this is to the whole panel, do you guys think that, is it just men, or do you think it's equal across the board with men and women, that people stay in relationships out of fear of either being rejected by someone else, or maybe fear out of being alone, or fear that the person will cause harm to them? Do you think that most people stay in unhealthy relationships out of fear? That's the question.
I know a lot of times men that I've talked to, they don't like to be alone. I think ones I've talked to, they don't like to be alone, and so they stay in a relationship because of that. So that's, and I can't speak for men across the board, but the ones that I've talked to, they don't like to be alone. And even if they're not in a long-term relationship, they're with different women because they don't like to be alone.
Yeah. And they like being comfortable. And I think people in general like being comfortable. They get, you know, content and complacent, and you're just kind of used to having that person around.
Andrew, do you agree from a male perspective, do you agree that you guys kind of stay in relationships because you're afraid of being alone?
Well, me, I can't say I do. I think more from the, if you look at females, a lot of females stay in it maybe because of fear, and I mean from the stories I've heard, you know.
You said
they stay in it from the
fear.
What?
Oh, I thought you said they stay because of sex. Oh, fear.
Fear. Hey, you never know. I know what.
It might be good too.
It might be right.
I don't know, but most, I mean, I won't say most of them, but I mean, you know, you always hear them in the news, or you hear, you may even know a family member or someone, you know, that's been a victim to it. A lot of ladies, they may stay in it because, you know, maybe they're like, you know, it's, the living situation isn't the best. You know, the man may be like, you know, you can't find nobody, you know, better than me. You know, mm-hmm. you know, it's the verbal abuse. It's just, you know, the regular, you know, physical abuse, you know.
And then
that's my person I'm looking at.
Statistically, within a marriage, a woman's quality of life goes down.
Yeah.
In the dating, and the man's quality of life goes up, and usually her quality of life remains lower even after the divorce, because mm-hmm. she's usually the one that gets the children and has the greater financial, I guess, mm-hmm. impact and struggle, if you will.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Makes sense. Mm-hmm.
And I think sometimes women stay because it's, you know, told to us that it's difficult to find a good man, and we think, well, he's not so bad, and I have a man, at least I have a man, and he does this, and we try to, you know,
a piece of man better than no man at all.
Yeah, and you know, versus saying, okay, this is something, you know, there's something better out here for me, and you know, mm-hmm. it's often people leave to be with someone else versus leaving to be alone, you know, mm-hmm. and I think that fear of being alone across the board keeps men and women stuck in relationships they shouldn't be in.
And I know there's one lady.
And it goes to what Clinton said about how he said there's so many women, at least in the Southeast, at a man's disposal. But that's where it kind of interesting to me, that I know quite a few men have, you know, that perspective, that there's so many women out here. I mean, honestly, in Atlanta, every corner you turn, there's a progressive black woman that owns a business, is a CEO of something, you know, is independent, doing her own thing. So there's so many women. So then you start to hear more women saying, well, there aren't a lot of men. And if there are any men available, then they're probably gay. And if they're not gay, they are married. And you got to mess with some married men and so forth. So it's interesting that you hear guys saying that they're lonely and that they want to be in relationships and can't find that good woman.
It's quantity versus quality. It's quantity versus quality. Yes, mm-hmm. you got a lot of women to choose from, and you can talk about how women may outnumber men, and like Ludacris had a song that talked about 22 to 1 or something crazy like
mm-hmm.
that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's quality because, I mean, even as you go through, and that's why men run through women the way they do, is because it's the quantity and not the quality there. So even when you look at it and women buy into that lie that there's no good men out there and you have to reduce yourself to just married men, but if you look at it in terms of quality and compatibility, the ratio is much more closer as 1-to-1.
I hope you're right on that one.
And you know what? I remember, like, my mom. My dad divorced my mom, like, in the 70s, right? And then she married him again, and then I was, like, really not happy with her about it. But she says, but I know this man, basically, and I know what he's going to do, right?
Mm-hmm. The devil,
you know.
I know he's a hoe,
and I know his hoe ways. But she didn't want to try to step out and do something different because she was more comfortable, because I know what he's going to do, right? And I think sometimes women have that mindset, and eventually that she ended up getting divorced probably 20, 30 years later. But I know this man, and you get stuck in that mindset, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's a comfort level. And then I think sometimes with men, and I would say this. So I'm like on these dating sites now, and I have never seen so many men, because I'm 53, but I've never seen so many men over the age of 45, 50, never been married. Now, they might have lived with somebody for 20, 30 years. Never. I was like, you have never been married?
Married.
I mean,
yeah,
it was tons
like
of black men.
That's like a red flag, I think.
But I mean, not so much as, but then they say, well, I lived with a woman for 20 years, or they'll have mm-hmm. five kids or two kids mm-hmm. and just wasn't right. And I was like, but never? I mean, it was so many.
Playing
I didn't put them on my profile.
Huh? Yeah, they're playing house you know, pretending, because these women will say that they're wives, you know, to these men. And in some states, I guess they would be, you know. But to me, that kind of says something, you know. And I'm not saying that everybody should get married and that everybody wants to get married. But, you know, to be with somebody for 20 and 30 years and never marry them, I think it's interesting. I'm not saying it's necessarily wrong, but
no,
I think it's interesting.
But it's interesting.
So
Andrew, I want to hear your perspective. I want to hear Andrew's perspective, because I know Princeton is divorced. But Andrew, you didn't share your relationship status, so I want you to share that and then share your opinion on what we're discussing right now about the marriage piece.
All right. See, my thing, I mean, I sat back listening, you know, everybody speak, but I think, I mean, every situation is different. You know, everyone's situation is different. You may think you've been in the worst situation or your friend's been in the most complicated situation, but again, I'm going to repeat it, every situation is different. So with that said, like, for instance, I have a friend, actually. I have a real good friend of mine. Her parents, actually, they've been married, I think, they've been together. I repeat, they've been together for 25 years. And just recently, it's funny, maybe last year, or 2 years ago, I find out that her parents were not married. And I never knew that. You know, whatever their reasons are, I'm not sure, because I didn't pry, but the whole thing is they're happy. The family's happy, you know, they're happy.
They shouldn't ruin it with marriage.
If that's what floats their boat, hold on, because if that's what floats their boat, more power to them, because, again, everyone's situation is different. On the other hand, real quick, I have another friend whose parents are married. They've been married for over 20-something years. The mother and the father, they don't sleep in the same room. They have their separate rooms. I'm actually 32 years old right now. I was 16 actually when I saw this. So from since then, and those numbers are not adding up. But anyway, it was somewhere between 20 something years. So I mean, hold on. Bottom line, what I'm trying to say is every situation is different. You have the story I told you first on the left, with, you know,
what's
not married
that?
But everything is wonderful. Then on the right, you had married. They don't sleep in the same room. So can any of y'all explain that? You know,
are you married?
What's your status? But we're trying to find out your status. You've been married, you got kids, maybe mom's single.
You sound single and never married.
I've got one stepdaughter, and I got two kids total, one stepdaughter. She's she just actually turned 9, and I have a 3-year-old.
Are you married?
No, I'm not married. Me and my lady, we've been together for about 6-7 years now.
Okay. So you're in a relationship, a serious relationship, but not married.
Yeah, it's serious because, you know, we live together. The kids are here. They go to school, you know, all that good stuff. So, yes, it's serious.
So is she on your insurance policies and all that kind of stuff?
Yes.
Okay.
Medical.
Okay.
We both in the same insurance, car and all that stuff, you know.
Okay. Life insurance?
What's this? Life insurance?
And how about the will?
It goes back to what I was saying earlier. Everybody's situation is different.
Yeah, but
that's usually where the difference is in terms of marriage, and those pieces. Like people, and oftentimes those conversations don't even come up about, we've been cohabitating for however many years that we've been, but the life insurance policy goes to somebody else, and I've been the one taking care of you or with you all these years. Mm-hmm. Or, just kind of little nuances like that.
Yeah. But, you know,
and the will is not for everybody.
Yeah.
I just want to know about, from a legal perspective, if the will is in place and all of that, so nobody comes in and you've been together and then she has no rights or you have no rights when it concerns. And mom and daddy come in, that's my child, move on out the way, right? So that's my concern. Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, just really quick before we keep it moving, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Mind Shift Talk Radio. I'm your host, Stacey Emery, joined by my phenomenal co-host, Juanita Sister Big Bones Warren. And tonight we're having a mind-shifting conversation, a roundtable discussion entitled Heartbreak Hotel, the Male versus Female Perspective. So our guests have been doing a great job, just really keeping it going and interesting. And we're just talking about really more than the heartbreak. We started off with the heartbreak, but now we're talking about cohabitating and quote-unquote playing house and about how men overcome relationship hurt versus women and so forth. So we're just continuing to go into this healthy, mind-shifting relationship conversation. But to keep it moving, my next topic that I want you guys to discuss is the rebound. And so I want to hear your perspective. I heard that from Princeton. So I guess you can leave it off Princeton. But what are your thoughts about people getting into these whole rebound relationships? What are your thoughts on the rebound?
First of all, there's a finite number that somebody, you know, someone, whoever someone is, says, you know, you should be out of a relationship and it takes you this long to heal and you should do this and you should do that. And, you know, nobody wants to, quote unquote, be the next person after a long, serious breakup.
Right.
But I've never been able to get that or understand it, you know, because at some point even from a spiritual standpoint, you don't know who God decides he wants to put in your life right after you got out of a bunch of foolishness. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So, no, you can't say this next person is a rebound. And, you know, a lot of times you don't know what reason a person is in your life for, you know, sometimes, you know, the old adage is, you know, people come into your life for a reason, season, or a lifetime. The issue with that is that you never really know what that purpose is until you have retrospection. So until you look back and say, okay, this is why this person was in my life. This is why this person was in my life. You can't do that while you're in it. You see what I'm saying? So there's no way for you to tell whether or not this is an actual rebound or this is the person I'm supposed to spend the rest of my life with. So, you know, when you get into something, you don't get into saying, listen, I'm lonely, so I got to have you right now. Because, you know, those things come and go very quickly. But, you know, sometimes you do find someone who could be, quote, unquote, to the outside world to be looked at as a rebound. But that could be your blessing. You know what I'm saying?
You know, that's a very good point. And this is Roxy. And I agree with you. You know, rebounds aren't always bad. You know, one of
right.
the best ways sometimes to get moving, you know, and move past something is to find someone else. Now, I don't encourage
the
that.
The best way to get over somebody is in bed with somebody else.
Take your mind off of what you got going on if you really don't want to think about it. And it's not always a bad thing. It could be that person that comes in and shows you how to have a good time again because maybe mm-hmm. you've been stuck in a rut for so long, you know, moping in the house, whatever the case may be, and they get you out, get you going. You know, it's not always a bad thing. You know, if you're trying to bring that person in and have them replace the person that you just lost, you know, that may not be as healthy of a situation, but a rebound person I think can serve a lot of different positive purposes in a person's life. You know, not always a bad thing. If the rebound person thinks they're going to be your next spouse, that could be bad for them, you know.
Well,
it would only be bad if
they're not the next spouse, though. You see what I'm saying?
Well, yeah, but it's bad if their expectation is that they're going to be that one that's going to be there forever when the person mm-hmm. in the situation may not need that forever right now. You know, they may need that right now versus forever, but the rebound person may be coming in saying, oh, I'm it. I want to be with you forever. You know, it may be a little too soon. And honestly, I've been in that situation to the extent my ex-husband married me shortly after ending a marriage. I wasn't the first rebound person. I think I was about third in line. But nevertheless, he is my ex-husband now. And looking back, he should have never married me when he did. He wasn't.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Still celebrating that one. But but again, you know, I still believe we were supposed to be together. For a reason. He wasn't my soulmate, but it served its purpose, you know. And I think things turned out the way that they were supposed to. I mean, you know what I mean? But it served the purpose for both of us. And I was a rebound person, you know. And I was thinking forever. And that wasn't necessarily what happened. So,
what about rebounds with your exes? What do you guys think about rebounding with an ex? How does that normally turn out?
What do you mean?
That always turns out bad.
What do you mean going back to them? What do you mean going back to them?
Right. Well, yeah, because I would say I was separated from my ex-wife. We were separated for 2 years. And, I mean, we were actually at the courthouse to turn in the papers to be divorced. And you know, she just started crying. We, you know, but the thing about it, and we didn't get divorced. We got back together, maybe a month later. I was back in the house. But the thing about it is this, right? People don't change. You know, at the core, you are who you are.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, people want to make mistakes, but, you know, you have to have your character tells you everything. And once you know what someone is capable of, and you have to know what they also are not capable of. And
right.
You have to be an assessment and say, can I live with this for the rest of my life? Because you're not going to always want to be somebody. It's all about choices, the choice that you make. And if, you know, that's why I go back to saying about, you know, when a man finds a woman and he wants to be with her, that's why I hurt so bad because you don't get there a lot. You know what I'm saying? You got to think. You know, most relationships are, you know, you grow in these relationships because of the conversations that you have. But, you know, women, you all come up And that's why you're expert communicators. You all have these many relationships and dramas with y'all girlfriends and stuff coming up through school. The guys, we don't have practice like that. We play football. We're talking about rap. We're talking about these chicks. It's whatever. Yeah. So by the time we get in these relationships, you all are like, well, y'all so immature. Well, shit, we came to the game late. You know what I'm saying? you're still trying to figure it out. And then, and then you get into the relationship. And see, once you get into a relationship, the man is happy, so we good. We good because until the expectations change. Once the relationship starts to grow, expectations start to change. And that's why a lot of times the whole divorce rate is up and people break up because you know what? Men marry women hoping that they don't change, whereas women marry men hoping that they do.
You have had a mouthful, and you are.
Well, I'll say this now. When I'm done, I'm done. I don't go back. Because by the time you push that, I don't go back. I'm done. I'm not tipping and dipping and back and forth. When I cut it off, I cut it off. Takes me a minute to get there, but I'm not back and forth. When I say I'm done, I'm done.
Amen.
So, no, I don't like this back and forth.
For a reason.
Yeah.
But what if you feel – what if – you realize that you made a mistake.
I don't make no mistake. By the time
it takes so long to get to that point.
We all make mistakes.
But I think what she's saying is it takes so long to get to that point for us to make that decision to leave because we give so many chances that by the time we're done, like when a woman's fed up, and we've all heard that, when we're fed up, that's it. That's it. And it does mean sometimes we don't think, oh, but, you know, as far as going back, you know, I mean, an ex is an ex for a reason, and you start to think about those reasons that got you to that point, and that's enough to make it not go back. I mean, I'm sure.
Right, brother, like you said, they don't change, and the character don't change, doesn't change, and so you really need to keep that at the forefront of your mind, because if you start reminiscing about some of the nice times that you had, and that's what gets people back, but it's like, oh, no, you need to remember. Right? Why you
feel the pain. Feel what you felt.
Yeah, exactly. You got to feel that pain.
Well, we've had quite a few calls in queue, and I know we haven't had a chance. For those of you that have been calling in, I apologize. We have not had a chance to take calls, but I know we have some folks in the chat room cracking me up right now. And Tamara is in the chat room and has been waiting on hold for over 30 minutes. Bless
you. Gotta let Tamara in.
Oh, she didn't mean to press one.
Hey, Tamara, welcome to Mind Shift.
Where's
that Shaka at?
Wait. Are not attacking anyone in their living situation, Tamara.
Where is Shaka at?
He is not a shacker.
Oh, you know, seriously, what I wanted to say, I know that we do tell people when they're living together that is considered shacking up. But the way I see it is commitment is commitment. A piece of paper does not tell you I love you and you love me, because people get married for all kind of reasons. So I'm really not one that looks at shacking up, as they call it, as this sinful thing. I actually look at it as a commitment, and all you're lacking is what the government has deemed appropriate for statistics. Because if you love me and I love you, that's a commitment. It's a covenant. It's not a contract. So I'm joking. I know you're not a shacker, but, you know, I think Andrew, you're not a shacker.
But you know what, Tamara? When he said that story when he was younger, the couple that never got married, they called that shacking then.
Yeah, and then they changed the law. Hold on.
But if you really want to go there, we can see now statistics really show that less and less people are getting married, and people that are getting married, The people that are getting married, they're not lasting this. You have more divorces nowadays.
It's because we got bad credit.
So that's a...
bad credit?
The bad credit is the answer to everything. You know, because at the same time...
That's another show.
But I will say this really, really shortly. It shows behavior. You know what I'm saying? So whether or not you're responsible, whether or not you're consistent, whether or not you're going to be there, whether or not you're taking on more than you can handle, it's all bad credit.
So do you have excellent credit? Because if you have excellent credit and you're single, I might need to talk to you after the show.
Ain't nobody on the phone single, Roxy. Nobody single, okay?
I'm single.
Watch it, Roxy and Brenda. No, thank you. Okay?
All right,
watch it.
I'm not looking for anybody, but I am single.
Tell Tamara, thank you for calling in.
Thank you for calling in, Tamara. Hey, here's my question. Let me see if y'all can hear this. Let me see if I turn this up, if you can hear it. Can y'all hear that?
No.
No, it's Al Green. He said, how can you mend a broken heart? So that's my question.
Yeah. We didn't hear that.
How do but my question is, how do you mend a broken heart?
Time. It takes time.
Is it always time? Is it just time?
No.
Is it a certain
somebody
time?
Not just time.
It could take another person.
Yeah.
Another person.
Support from friends and family.
Andrew.
Right. You don't mend a broken heart because that's, unfortunately, I mean, you can look at it negatively, positive, whatever, but, I mean, that's what makes us who we are. You learn from our mistakes.
Well, mine looks like that picture they have up there.
You know, it's mended, but
it looked pretty bad.
Yeah, or when you break a bone, I think if they look at the x-ray, they can still kind of see where you had that old fracture or break, but it's still pretty much intact. I think, you know, we kind of wear these battle wounds, and hopefully, you know, we're not wearing them, you know, so much on the surface where that we're attacking every, you know, man or woman and, you know, carrying around all this baggage, but that we, you know, like Andrew said, we kind of learn from our mistakes and we live and we go on, but we, you know, we can go back and remember those things, but we don't dwell so much in that place that we can't move forward with anyone else without, you know, bringing that baggage into a situation.
It's not so much as you're bringing baggage, but if your heart kind of looks like that picture and you still, you know, where the stitches are, and somebody kind of, you have some scar tissue there, and it's like, hold up, wait a second. Oh, hold up, wait, right?
Yeah.
I got a Band-Aid there. You know, you can't touch that part. Now, you can move over in this section where there's not any wounds, but, you know, y'all can't go back there. Somebody, you basically say, okay, I was abused. Somebody talked to me like I didn't appreciate it. They were verbally, mentally, physically abusive. You can't go there, right? So that's where you learn from those lessons and those pains, that's why you have that there, to remind you not to go down that path anymore. So
do you think it's possible to get in a relationship with someone that's still broke and hurt, or broken and hurt, and help them through that hurt and still have a healthy relationship in the end? Do you think it's possible to still have a happily ever after with that?
If they're willing to push through it and not keep nursing, licking their wounds, as long as they don't keep licking it.
And it's really draining. You have to
be
yourself to be in that. It's kind of draining to be that person for someone.
Yeah.
You know, you have to be in a good place in your life to offer that type of support.
I think it depends on the two people because, you know, in a lot of relationships you have a giver and you have a taker. So it just depends. It just depends on whether or not that person is altruistic, I guess you say, in nature, and the things that they're doing, they're deriving, they're getting happiness out of making someone and keeping someone happy. So, and in that case, then, you know, it works. But then if it's the other way around, then at some point, the dynamics of the relationship would change, because once they finally get over, now I don't have to fix you anymore. And some people get mad because some people get married and some people get in these relationships because they want projects. They want to be able to fix people. They want to be able to make them happy. And you get lost in yourself with that. You know, next thing you know, you look around and ain't nobody there to fix you. You know,
Women are known for that. You know, we get these little projects and we want to fix a man and we want to save them and make them better and improve them and change them. And, you know, and then we're upset when it doesn't turn out the way we wanted it to.
Or you
get
upset when it doesn't turn out.
And move on.
And then everything and everybody is somebody else. Right.
Yeah, exactly.
I know I had a friend before that always said, I am tired of being the Mrs. Fix-It shop. She was like, I'm tired of getting these broke-down Negroes that are, you know, coming to me for repair, and I'm fixing them up, and they're going off to the next chick after I fix them up. You know, she's like, I'm done with it. I'm closing up shop.
But I think it says a lot about you as well. If you're constantly attracting these broken people into your life and you're finding some type of solace in the relationship, I mean, I think you're kind of setting yourself up for it. And you have to question yourself, why do I keep, attracting these broken down people?
I went through some counseling, and one of the books that my counselor gave me, it's a book called Loving Him Without Losing You. And that's what we as women tend to do. And it was one time on the Brandy show. She was saying, it was when Brandy was on her show, and she told this girl, why do you always want to get those men in need of repair, right? So I've just learned this through my I just learned this. We have to learn how to love the men without losing ourselves, because you tend to lose everything pushing them. And I'm not just saying men that you guys don't do the same thing, but as women we tend to kind of do that because we're always trying to encourage, push, the black man to make him be better, right? And then you lose sight of your goals and objectives, right? So there needs to be that balance.
And I think it's for women in general, because we all are always so many things to everyone but ourselves. Just in most of the roles we play in our lives, it's easy in our intimate and romantic relationships to get lost. That's where we try to find some type of peace and comfort, and we easily get lost and absorbed in those types of situations.
Well, it's not about women picking men that are fixer ups or they need repairing, because at the end of the day, everybody needs repair. You know what I'm saying? This whole journey in life. you got to look in the mirror.
There's so many broken men out there, though.
That's what evolving is. Evolution is nothing but repairing. That's all it is.
Yeah.
There are a lot of broken men.
You have no idea, brother. You're just a good man, but you have no idea.
Everybody. Yeah, you sound very rare, but there are a lot of broken men out there who have been damaged, and for whatever reason, they come to you and they're broken, and, as nurturers, we kind of take them in, and let me love you, let me help you, and it's not, I think it's always not an intentional thing, sometimes it just kind of happens that way because we tend to be nurturers by nature, but there's a lot of broken brothers out there who, for whatever reason, they're just damaged, because their mama didn't love them, and the daddy did this, and the last girlfriend did this, and the wife cheated, it's just a lot of damage out there, amongst men.
And be careful
of
dating.
We're coming up to the end of the hour now. I hate to cut you guys off. We really need to have a part two to this discussion, because there's no way we can talk about all this stuff in 1 hour. I hate it when we get to the end of the show like this. But we're coming up to the end of the hour. And I just want to say thank you to all of you joining us. Roxy, Brenda, Princeton, Andrew, thank you so much for joining us on the panel. And, we'll be reaching out to you guys for a part two sometime in the future, because we need to continue to have this conversation. Just the feedback, when you look at this is a conversation that anyone can relate to, right? If you're alive, you can relate to some heartbreak. You can relate to the relationship woes. And I think it's important for us to continue to have these conversations, because sometimes we wonder, what does a guy really think about this, or what was he thinking when he did that? And then the same way for guys. They want to know, what do women think and why do they feel the way they feel? So it's important for us to have these healthy conversations. So I thank all of you guys for being here with us. Sister Big Bone, we're coming up to the end, Mama Sita. We've only had about a minute left. So I'll go ahead and let you close out with your final thoughts about the topic.
I'll share something that was posted in the room by Felicia when asking, how do you mend your broken heart? She says, by carefully picking up the pieces and slowly putting it back together, but you keep notes of the past mistakes within a relationship and use them as warning signs when entering a new one.
Well, thank you for sharing in the chat room. I tell you, our chat room was off the chain. Shout out to everyone in the chat room, Felicia and Tamara and Juice and Oregon Sister. It was just so many of you guys in the chat room. So thank you so much for engaging in the conversation. But thank you to all of you that tuned in tonight. Again, make sure that you're here with us every Monday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific. Share this information with your friends and family members. Like I said, if they can't make it to the live show, tell them to go to the website, mindshifttalkradio.com. They can go ahead and hit archives and listen to the replay of the show. Also, join us on Facebook and also connect with us via Blog Talk Radio. There in your browser, hit the follow link. But thank you for tuning in. Make sure that you're here next Monday. We have another guest coming back. He was a phenomenal, dynamic speaker. Mr. Bob Berg is going to be here next week. talking about success as well, so make sure you're here. But you guys have another blessed, amazing, phenomenal week, and hopefully we'll see you in the chat room next week. Be blessed. Talk to you soon. Good night.
God bless you. Good night. Good night.
Hello.
Mind Shift Radio.